Good morning, saints. Rightio, we're still in the book of Joshua. I'm not sure for how much longer, but we haven't quite finished it. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 14. And I want to look this morning at one of those real faithful characters in the Bible, and that's Caleb. So we looked at him briefly when we came through the wilderness wanderings, and can't really go past this chapter 14, which is Caleb in the land claiming all that has been allotted to him. So he's a real picture to us of the perseverance of faith. He's a real strong character, one who wants to obtain everything really that God has for him. So we'll start off in Joshua chapter 14. And we'll just start from verse 1 and we'll get our way in there. Now these are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed as an inheritance to them. And their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and half a tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and the half a tribe on the other side of the Jordan, but to the Levites he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in their land except cities to dwell in with their common lands and for their livestock and their property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then verse 6, and then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. So here we are, all of the land is being divided up. And the first person to come up from the tribe of Judah was Caleb. And it says about him that he was the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Now, does anyone know who the Kenizzites are? Different family name. Because when you look at Caleb's origins, there's, even when you read the historical people or Bible genealogies, there's a bit of differing thought on Caleb. Because the Kenizzite is not a Jewish family name. It's actually in
Scottish, isn't it?
Yeah, very close to Scottish. Yeah. Half Scottish, half Irish. Yeah.
Looks like Mackenzie.
Yeah, they made up that lost tribe that was
Jewish.
Yeah. 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 Now the Kenizzites were actually Edomites. And there's some thought even though Caleb was of the tribe of Judah, when you trace back his ancestry, it's a little hard, it's just a little vague when you trace back down through the fathers. But here in the book of Joshua, it says it in about 3 places that he was the son of this person, the Kenizzite. And in the Kenizzite family were not Jewish, they were actually Edomites. So it is possible, and I say possible because it's not actually clear, that Caleb was actually a Gentile. But through faith had actually been brought into the tribe of Judah. And we know that this had happened for Ruth. We know that also Rahab was another one, that they picture faith, even though they're Gentiles, but they're brought into the house of Israel. And this Kenizzite was not a Jewish family name. It was actually an Edomite. And Edomites were actually the enemies of Israel, even though they traced their ancestry back to Jacob's brother Esau. Through Esau came Edom, and then you got the whole Edomite race that way. But they were actually enemies. But Caleb, it's possible, he was actually brought in as a Gentile. Does anyone know? And the other little clue, in chapter 15, it says there that the inheritance or a share of the inheritance was given to Caleb among the children of Israel. So it almost infers that he was slightly separate, you know, from the tribe of Judah, but he was in there. Does anyone know what Caleb's name means?
Son of
Yeah, it means dog. And in that day, a dog was sort of completely different to how we treat dogs. They were a pest back then, you know, something that just wandered from place to place. But now, they're like so much part of your family, they're treated like another child or a spouse or sometimes even better. They greet you when you come home, and from there it's... Yeah, I know, I'm digging myself a big hole. But yeah, so his name means dog, and in some ways, you know, you remember when the woman came to Jesus for a healing, you know, and he said to her, look, my message wasn't sent to the dogs or the Gentiles, it was sent to the house of Israel, and she had great faith and said, yeah, but even the crumbs that fall off the table, the dogs still eat, and he commended her for her faith. But he almost implied that same term, that a dog was a Gentile, someone that was unclean, you know. And that's the way. So it's quite possible that Caleb represents that as well. So when you've got, and it's interesting, when you've got this, when you look at the wilderness wanderings, and you've got these two main men that stood for faith, you've got Joshua and Caleb. Which one is the most important out of the two? Well, it's actually Joshua takes the prominent position. He becomes the ruler. He's the main man. And Joshua, we know Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. And Caleb always walks alongside Joshua. He's like in his shadow, but he's one that walks by faith with this man all through the wilderness and into the land of Canaan. And he obtains an inheritance. So you've got this little picture here also of these two walking by faith. One is prominent, and that is really Joshua. And Caleb, you just see something about his life that he is walking alongside, but in faith and in courage and full of zeal for the things that he is to inherit. So he could, in some ways, picture or type that Christ and his church, or the Jew and Gentile, or, you know, there is that little bit of imagery there. Okay, so chapter 6, he says, then Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses the man of God concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And you get this picture here that, you remember the story back then that the spies were sent in, each man represented a tribe, and they all went to different areas of the land, and they all brought back a report, and only two brought back a report saying, yeah, God is actually able to take us into this land, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And what was the result? All of the other spies only saw the bad. They only saw the negative, and they were afraid because of what they saw. They saw the giants in the land. And the result there was that they actually wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for actually believing in God. And that was the result, really, of their faith in God. Not only was there opposition in the land for them inheriting God's promises, but there was opposition amongst those that were their brethren. And that there speaks to us that our battle sometimes is twofold. It can be from those that are the closest to you, as well as forces that oppose you from inheriting. But it says in here, this verse, quite a lot of times about Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. And it states it about three times. It was something about Caleb's character that was different. Back in Numbers, when God was talking about these two, he said, but Caleb, who has a different spirit in him to the others. Here in Joshua, it says that he wholly followed the Lord. What do you think it means to wholly follow the Lord? Because this is something that marks, that is spoken about Caleb, that distinguishes him from others. Yeah. No compromise. He's fully committed to the purposes of God with all his being. That's what it really means. If God was to act in such a way, he's in their boots and all. He fully wants to be involved in what God has for himself and for the nation of Israel. So it says this little term about him, he wholly followed the Lord, you know. You contrast that with many other people, like I was thinking of Solomon, you know, starts off well and he's what the wisest man in all the earth. But what does it say about his last days? It says that he didn't fully give his heart to God, you know. He didn't fully commit himself to God, and his last days are really messy. Started off well, but he didn't finish well. But in Caleb, you've got this picture of a man of God who perseveres with faith all the way through, and he's consistent. He wholly follows God the whole way through his life. And there's most people in the Bible, it shows their blemishes as well. Caleb's one of these guys that doesn't really show a blemish in his life. So in verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, and I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Now verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And I love that first part that he says in that verse 10. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said. There was one song that we sang here this morning, and I can't remember the verse. The sureness of his promise was in that last song. And this is what Caleb is saying here, that what God said way back then, he's actually fulfilled. It's come about. What he said was true. And here I am this day. So you've got to think, for him, this would have been incredibly hard, because for him and Joshua, they actually believed God. They were innocent, and they actually had to undergo 38 years of continual wandering because of the unbelief of the nation. They'd believed God. They deserved to go in and hear it at that time. But they had to walk round and round and round the desert for 38 years while all the moaners and all the complainers and all the whingers and everyone that came from the age of 20 up at that time when the judgment was given, because they didn't believe, all of them had to die off. So that's a long time that Caleb actually had to wait for God's word to actually be fulfilled in his life. 38 years wandering, and then there was 7 years of battle until he gets to this point. So 45 years before what God had said he was going to do with him, before it actually came out and he was able to actually take what God had said. That's a long time. 38 years waiting for God to fulfill a promise. So when you think about that in light of us, when I was thinking about Caleb, I was thinking, well, how long have we had to wait for things? Waiting is one of the hardest things you'll actually have to do in the Christian life. Is this true of us? God has promised you something, and it can be all sorts of different things, but do you feel like sometimes you've been put to one side, you know? Put to one side, and all you're doing is everything is dry. Everything's dry, everything's crusty. There's nothing much happening. You're surrounded by people that moan and complain. Because this is what it would have been like for Caleb, you know. He didn't deserve all this, but he had to undergo it. 38 years of waiting for God to actually fulfill something of which he deserved, because he believed God. He was unable to go anywhere. And this is what it is about, I love about this life, and or what I see in Caleb's life, that yes, he believed God, but it didn't actually come straight away. It actually came after a long period of time. He actually had to wait in a long time. Romans 3 and 4 says, tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. So as much as we hate those periods of waiting, they've actually got a purpose. For Caleb, this would have been tribulation. He had to wait 38 years till everyone had died off before they were actually able to go on in, you know. And tribulation has its purpose. It actually produces perseverance. And when you look at the life of Caleb, this is what you see. He is one who perseveres in faith. And he's a good picture of perseverance and faith. Because God sets us aside for lots of different reasons. And things that we believe that God has got for us, sometimes they just don't come straight away. We expect them to come straight away. We want them to come straight away. But it just doesn't happen that way, you know. And we don't understand it. And that's the thing. Caleb wouldn't have understood. But he had to persevere and believe that God was going to fulfill his word to him. And this is why he said, "Behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Everyone else died around me for 40-odd years, as he said." He'd made a promise way back then that Joshua and Caleb would survive. As he said, he was true to his word. These 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses. And now here I am, 85 years old. So he's well advanced in his age. I love the story about Adoniram Judson, and I was reading a little bit about him the other day. He was a missionary that was sent to Burma, and for 12 years he went and preached every day in the marketplace, and he never got one convert. So that's a long time to not see any fruit, not one convert. That would have been incredibly hard on him. That's a long time, 12 years to preach every day. And the missionary society that he was with sent him this message. "What are the prospects in Burma?" Which is a nice way of saying, what on earth is going on? 12 years, you've got nothing to show for 12 years. You haven't got one convert. Should we bring you home and put you through a course? Should we send you to a different mission field? What's happening there, you know? And he sent back the reply, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." And I thought that's an amazing response. And that's something that what Caleb would have said, wandering. If he'd been asked that same thing, you know, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Everything at the moment, there's nothing outward that you can see that is saying I'm in the right place. But God's promises remain true, and his word remains true. And he looked at that, and Adoniram Judson was, again, in persevering in faith. He was looking forward, believing that God was going to fulfill his word. He had no idea what God was doing, and that's what I love about the story with him. Because he went to Burma, and 12 years, preached in the markets, not one convert. And he was, toward the end of that 12 years, there was the tribal men from the Karen tribes coming down into the marketplace, and they would talk to him and want to pull him back up into the mountains, you know, to come and preach to his people. And he didn't believe that that was God's will, so he would stay where he was. One day he went with them, and unbeknown to him, that within the Karen tribes they had this tale that had been there for ages, that they had somehow lost, they'd come into darkness, and one day a man would come into the tribe sitting on a donkey, carrying a black book with him that would lead them out of all darkness and into the light. And that man was Adoniram Judson. And he went up into the hill country with these people, and there was just tens and tens of thousands of these tribal men just waiting for him. He came in on a donkey, and he came carrying a black book, and he preached his first message, and all of these tribes, the Americans, just thousands and thousands and thousands, just all repented on the spot and gave their hearts to the Lord. And then you had the great revivals through the Karen tribes from there. But an amazing story, because he knew nothing of that. He knew nothing of God's purposes, but he just faithfully persevered where he believed God had him, you know. 12 years, not one soul. And then all of a sudden, in one day, he's got thousands, you know. He had no idea what God was doing. And that's like that with many of us. We actually don't have a clue, to be honest. A lot of the time, we don't understand what God may have for us. We don't understand what plans he is, over the years, actually doing in and through us. But I love that quote: "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Yeah. So here we got Caleb. He's 85 years old. Then in verse 11, he says, "And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Here you've got the words of an aged man. He's 85, but yet what you see in his life is someone that is full of faith, full of zeal, full of courage, full of vitality for life. How many 85-year-old people do you hear talk like this? You know, "I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me." How long have we been in Christ? You know, is there anyone here that's been saved 40 years, 60 years? Could you say that you're as strong now as when you first began? Could you say like Caleb?
I would say spiritually I'm stronger than I was then.
But
not naturally.
Yeah. But when I read this, I thought this is a real challenge to me. Mm. You know when you first get saved and you are full of zeal, do you have the same zeal for those that are unsaved as you did when you began? Do you have the same zeal for discipleship, for the church, for the purposes of God? Do you have the same zeal to inherit everything that God actually has for us as when you first began? Because Caleb is a picture of someone that he's saying here, "I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Everything that concerns me concerning the purposes and the will and inheriting all that God has for us, I'm into it. There's nothing that's changed." Now, could you say that about yourself? It's a real challenge, you know. So, he's 85 years old. It's interesting when you look at, in my workplace, I'm surrounded by aged people. There's a lot of aged people play golf. They retire. And you get a real mixture amongst the aged. And when I was thinking about this, you know, you get some that just, like Caleb, I believe, had a real vitality for life as well, a real get up and go. And there's not many, really, when you think about it. And even on the natural sphere, like Mum said, your body starts to break down. I was talking to this guy on the golf course the other day, just on Wednesday, and he would be in probably his late 70s. And there's two guys that they play golf every morning, and we call them the speed golfers. They're in their 70s, and they virtually hit and run. And they can do 18 holes in the time that it takes everyone else to do 9. They just do. They just hit and run, hit and run, hit and run. And there's these two old guys, and they just motor. And they get out before everyone else, and they just keep going. And I was talking to him, and I said to him, "What are you doing this Waitangi weekend?" And he said to me, "Well, I've wrecked my Achilles tendon," so, because he's right into tramping, you know. He said, "I've wrecked my Achilles tendon, and I can't tramp. But we're going to do the Nelson. There's a big tramp down in Nelson. I can't tramp, but I'm going to bike it." And it was a three day bike. He said, "I can't walk, but I can ride." And he's, you know, and when he said that, I thought, just the type of character that some people actually have. They're just into it. You know, if one little hindrance here and it doesn't stop them, they'll find another way to do it. You know, and I think Caleb was actually like that, you know. He just had a zest for life, a zest for God, a zest, you know, he had a vitality about him. And 85, here he is saying, "Look, I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for going out and for coming in." And that's a term there that's used quite a bit in Scripture. You need to be strong for going out to war. And then we can all understand that, you know. Like, if you're going to go into battle, you need strength in God and you need human strength. But this, we can understand going out to war, but for coming in, what's that about? Has anyone got any ideas? Why do you need strength for coming in? Because that term is spoken a few times in Scripture. Yeah, Yeah, it's, I mean, the only thought I had is when you come in from war, you're back to life, you know. You're back to all of the responsibilities that you have, the mundane things. You know, you need strength to go out and fight for God, but you also need strength for coming in. You need strength for both. Strength is needed for both. The times of waiting, the times of big periods when you're actually not at war, you know. The same faith is needed for both. And this is what he's saying, I'm strong in both, for going out and for coming in. Yeah, so 85. Remember, Moses was called into his ministry at what age? 80. So there's time for us all. So if you're looking at your if you're looking at your retirement thinking this will be a time to ease on up, you've got these pictures of these guys. Caleb at 85, full of zeal and life. Moses was called to start his ministry at 80. So you just never know when you might have a burning bush experience and God actually calls you into your ministry, even though you might think, this is my retirement, this is the time to ease on up. Because we're given these pictures of these guys, and they're full of life, full of zeal for God, and there's the age doesn't come into it. So, yeah. So, Yet I was strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Now in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, the cities were great and fortified, and it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Give me this mountain is what he said. He's 85 years old. You would think naturally, or the normal thing to say would be, can you give me a little plot of land down in a quiet little valley beside a beautiful little stream where I can grow vegetables, flowers, and I can watch the birds tweet? Now that would be...
You forgot about the fishing, bro.
True. If you buy a stream, it's right. There's got to be fish there. Yeah. But on the natural, at 85, you know, that's what you'd be looking for, a little bit more comfort and ease and... You know, but not Caleb. He says, give me this mountain. And it's not any old mountain. It's actually the hardest place. When they went in and viewed the land, this is the place that he viewed. And it was full of giants. The very thing that had scared all of the rest of the nation, he actually wanted this. At 85, this was the place that he actually wanted to take. So whatever happened way back then when he first went into the land, that captivated his heart and it didn't change. It held him all through the wilderness wanderings, and that was the place that he actually wanted. And he wanted the hardest place. He didn't want the little quiet little meadow somewhere where he could put his feet up and say, I've done my part. He actually chose the hardest part. Give me this mountain. And this mountain had fortified cities and it had giants. And we know that when we look further on, the giants in the land were always, you know, that satanic attitude, principle that came in to halt God's people from inheriting the good parts, you know. And here they are. There's three of them under this guy. So the place that he actually chose, and in verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was merely Kirjath Arba, and in brackets, Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and then the land had rest from war. Now, the Anakim were the giant race. So he had three sons, as you read in chapter 15. So the very place that the enemy was at, and the very place that Caleb longed for and desired to have, was Hebron. What do we know about Hebron? Does anyone know what Hebron means? Hebron means communion and fellowship. Hebron is really significant for the nation of Israel. It's the place that God met Abraham. It's the place that he built an altar. It's the place that... They were buried. Sarah was buried there, Isaac was buried there, Jacob, Leah, Rebecca, they were all buried there. And it's the place that it speaks of that direct communion and fellowship where God met Abraham face to face and actually communed with him. It speaks about a real closeness with God himself. And of all the places for the giants to be, that's actually where they are. You know, they're in that place that is really significant and important, and they're trying to withhold the nation from getting it. So when he spied out the land, it was this place, Hebron, that really captivated Caleb's heart. And I believe that it was that thing there that really held him to persevere in faith until he came into the land. So the same thing can be really said of us. What is it that actually captivates yours and my heart? Is the times that you've had in the presence of God, is that the very thing that you actually long for? Is that the very thing that you hope one day that God will bring you into the fullness of? That he has an inheritance for you? That he hasn't forgotten about you? Hebron is that place of close communion with God and close fellowship with God. And Caleb, he wants it. He says, give me this mountain. Yeah, really cool. So when you get into chapter 15, the last sort of thoughts I've got on Caleb, when you get to in chapter 15 from verse 13 down, it says, now to Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. And Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks that place and takes it, to him I will give Ashish, my daughter, as his wife. So the first thing you see about Caleb, that after he takes this place and he destroys the giants, that he's actually spurring on others into the fight. He's trying to bring others, and he says, whoever takes this next place, I'll give my daughter as wife. So you've got someone that is trying to produce faith in others around him. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, he took it and he gave him his daughter as his wife. Now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him, this is his daughter, to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? And she answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So the end of Caleb's life, not only is he a great man of faith and he's spurring others on into the fight, but he's actually got something to give as an inheritance to others. And whenever we see springs in the Bible, it's always a picture of living water. So Caleb has actually given her that which was most precious in that area, in that day, the upper and the lower springs. But he's in a position, because of faith in God, he's in a position to actually hand something on to his children. And the fact that it speaks about springs of water all just speaks of life in the risen Lord, that he's actually, what he's able to pass on is living. It's a living thing. So all of these things, like when you look at Caleb's life as a whole, what is it that he really speaks about? He speaks about one who has a zeal for life, one who has a zeal for God, one who is wholeheartedly into God's purposes and his will for himself, and one that is able to actually obtain of fight and also give. He's able to bless when his life gets to an end. And he's one that perseveres through faith. The age barrier is not a thing for this guy. At 85, he's as strong as he was when he was young. So Caleb, to me, is just such a wonderful picture, really, of someone that just remains steady under fire through all of his life's journeys. And he speaks really about the perseverance of faith.